We're talking about what is usually referred to as the link. This involves animal and child abuse. Experts say new studies show the abuse of animals increases the likelihood of child abuse in the same household, and crimes against animals are showing a direct correlation to people. To talk more about this, we have the CEO of Our Companions here, Susan Linker, who's been on our show before and joins us now to talk more about this. Susan, thank you so much for having this conversation. We appreciate it. First of all, tell people, if they're not familiar with Our Companions Animal Rescue, what you guys do and your involvement in this conversation at the state level.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, Our Companions Animal Rescue, we're a nonprofit animal protection organization, and we have a facility in Manchester, Connecticut called our Program Center, and an animal sanctuary on 47 acres in Ashford, Connecticut for abused animals where they can come and rehabilitate and find a new future after some care and recovering from their trauma. So, animal abuse is not something that is new to us, unfortunately. And the link that you had described is, it's a connection. It's not even a correlation. There are decades of research, and it's documented that there is a link between animal abuse and human violence, not just child abuse, but abuse towards people, domestic violence, elder abuse, and child abuse. So April is Child Abuse Awareness Month and Prevention of Animal Cruelty Month. And so yesterday we had a press conference with Lieutenant Governor Beiswit and commissioners from the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Children and Families to bring awareness to this issue. And also that Connecticut is one of the few states that has a law that requires what's called cross-reporting. So if a worker for DCF goes into a home where there's child abuse and there are animals present, they are required to report that to the Department of Agriculture, and vice versa. If a state animal control officer or an animal control officer goes into an animal cruelty situation and there are children in the home, they are required to report it to DCF. And that is because this link is so well established and documented. So it's a wonderful way to use April to, you know, get the word out there about this really important issue and how people need to be aware of it and should get involved in cases of child abuse and animal abuse, because it's not just limited to animals.
So, Susan, this is going to maybe sound like an inappropriate comment, but I have to say it. It's interesting because the average person, when they think about, you know, when you watch documentaries or you listen to podcasts and they talk about serial killers, I mean, most times than not, you learn that at a young age, not all of them, but a lot of times serial killers were cruel to animals, right?
It's actually 100% of the time.
Right. Okay. Right.
That way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, you know, that there's this shock, you know, in some degree for some people, oh my gosh, how could the two be related? But when you, and again, not saying that, you know, that this is going to happen all the time, but it is interesting that the average person knows that. The average person mm-hmm. knows that yeah. a serial killer was probably doing something to a backyard animal or to an animal living with them or whatever. And those were those initial signs, right, of something wasn't right here. I mean, how many times do you see that or hear about that mm-hmm. in a story of a serial killer? So it's interesting that, first of all, that this is not a federal law. I mean, and again, we're not in control mm-hmm. of what's going on. But to me, I'm glad that Connecticut recognizes the link.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine that the average person, once you realize, oh, sure, I guess if you could do that to an animal, you could do it to a child and vice versa, right? I mean, it logically makes sense. But I'm wondering, when did we make that a law in Connecticut? And have we seen that the cross-reporting is effective?
Absolutely. It first became a law in 2011, and then in 2014, it was improved, which it is today, makes it a requirement. And as a result of education and this law, there is so much more cross-reporting. There's been a noticeable increase in animal cruelty reports being made, 51% more in 2019 to 2021. And the cross-reporting has gone up 42%. It's because of the collaboration between DCF and the Department of Agriculture. So it's really important that these laws exist and that people are educated. And, you know, you made a good point about, the serial killer starting out abusing animals. You know, this isn't just about education. This is about prevention. When children witness or engage in animal cruelty, it is a very red flag that there is something wrong here, because this is a predictor of future human violence. And so there are so many levels to this. It's not just about, you know, knowing about it. It's about preventing it. Domestic violence is present in pretty much 88% of cases where animals are abused. So there, this is, you know, we call it the link. It is the direct link and something that needs to be taken very seriously. And there's a lot of things that people in the community can do. It's not just an unfortunate thing. It's something that we should all be vigilant about and make sure that we understand that if you see a dog being abused or any animal and there are children involved or an elderly person or anyone who, you know, could be vulnerable, chances are they're at risk as well, and that should be reported.
We are chatting with Susan Linker, who is the CEO of Our Companions and was part of a press conference this week talking about what is referenced as the link between animal abuse and child abuse cases. And Susan, you know, I'm certainly not trying to put the onus on anybody in particular, okay? But I do like to be real on this show. And oftentimes I will find that we very quickly will jump on an agency, not to say that that's not fair. We should, right? I mean, we should expect the best of the best from DCF. We should be expecting it from our child advocate. We should be expecting it certainly from our animal control, our Department of Ag. Yes, 1,000% yes. And I think it's great that people hold people's feet to the fire with that. However, I do find that when you have these awful situations, I mean, if you take some of the horrific situations that have happened in Connecticut to children, you know, immediately we say DCF failed. And to some regard, yes, they did. You know, there are some cases in particular where we say DCF is just, they don't have it right. But I also find, though, that there's no way we should be waiting till DCF gets involved. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if people necessarily know how to get involved properly, because A, sometimes it could be, you know, so especially with children, right? I mean, especially with children, I find I'm a mom of a 7-year-old. And if I see something that seems off, how do you address it properly? Because that kid is in my kid's class, maybe, or, you know, that teacher has to deal with it, or that parent is seems like a really nice parent, but might be going through something. I don't know if people know exactly what to do. Same thing goes for animal abuse cases. When you think there's something off, or you're on the phone with somebody and you hear them screaming at their animals, you know, I don't know if people know what to do or don't know when it is necessary to report. Does that make sense, what I'm asking?
No, absolutely. And to equally be real, you know what I hear all the time that kind of makes me a little bit nuts is when people say, well, I don't want to get involved. It's a neighbor, or it's so-and-so's, you know, this person. You know, get involved. We are a society here. We have a civic obligation to get involved when we suspect something is wrong. Thankfully, because of all this demonstrated research about the link, because of the progressiveness of our state and the laws, and social workers and animal welfare understand this. You know, school officials understand this. You know, counselors understand this. So there is a lot of support when you do speak up. This isn't a foreign concept for people, but people have to feel the responsibility to get personally involved, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's a neighbor. And thankfully, you know, this is something that is well established and well known. So you're not going to be, you know, calling agencies that are saying, what's this link thing you're talking about? You know, so the first thing you need to do is, if you suspect animal cruelty, call your local animal control officer. And if they don't call you back, call again. And if they don't call back, call the chief of police, because animal cruelty is a crime and you should report it. And you should report it. Same thing with child abuse. Call DCF, report it. And I know it's uncomfortable to get involved sometimes, but it's absolutely essential. Wouldn't you want that for your pet or your children? And remember, this isn't just about child abuse and animal abuse. This is about all forms of human cruelty and violence. You know, this is about other crimes as well: elder abuse, domestic violence, intimate partner violence, and also other types of, you know, aggressive violence as well, with guns and other things. So I think that people can rest assured that when they do get involved, it's not going to be, you know, anything that's going to, I think, impact them personally. But what you can do is impact a situation and potentially prevent something horrible from happening.
Absolutely. Well, Susan Linker, I want to thank you so much for what you do, CEO of Our Companions, and for talking about this. I know it's not a comfortable topic, but it needs to be discussed. And so I appreciate you doing that.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Susan Linker again right here on WICC.